All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt.
And Jake.
And we're glad that you stopped by to join us. And you can see we have a guest. And so we have with us Jody and Jody O'Dell from Walk Like a Hebrew. So Jody.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
We're doing good. So we appreciate you taking time today to join us on a Shabbat. And
thank you for having me.
It's an honor. And so I probably need to start off. I was on Facebook, like many Americans, and I saw someone had shared a link to your podcast, and I went and I listened to it, and I was like, oh, I like this. And that's how we're here. And yeah. So we encourage other people to go check it out. And so I like your artwork. Now, is that connected to children that you have, the footprints?
Those are the footprints that we are following.
No.
The footprints of the most famous Hebrew who ever lived.
That's right.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen. Well, I like your logo and what Thank you did you. With it there. And so she's got, you can follow her in multiple places. You know, obviously a lot of people do listen to Apple Podcasts, but I found you just Googling, it popped up all kinds of platforms. So
yeah,
So you can find Walk Like a Hebrew on multiple platforms. You can Google it and find it. Do you have a website or anything?
SheHoldsForth.com.
Okay. She Holds Forth. So yeah. How did you come up with that name and what does that mean?
Which name? She Holds Forth?
She Holds Forth.
because before I became a Torah observant believer, I was a mainstream Christian and I thought I knew everything. And I spent a lot of time holding forth on different topics.
Yeah.
Every time I had an audience, I had something to say.
Yeah.
That's about.
That's good. And so tell us how you came about Walk Like a Hebrew, because have you ever heard of Greg Widener?
I have.
So
yes.
Greg did one not long ago, about a year ago, and it was, what was it called?
It's called Walk Like an Egyptian or Limp Like a Hebrew or something like that.
Oh. Yeah. I haven't heard that one.
So that'd be a good one. Well, go ahead. Did you tell us?
No, I just, when I decided that I wanted to start a podcast and I decided on my topic and I was trying to think of an interesting, you know, memorable title.
Yeah.
And flipping through the radio stations one day while I was driving and Walk Like an Egyptian came on and I was like, I have this habit of singing along and changing the words to suit
good song.
What I'm thinking about, and it just kind of flowed.
Yeah. That's good. That's perfect. Yeah. I like it.
I keep waiting for somebody to write me a theme song.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that as well. Yeah. Jake and I both. So now my son is a member of what is that thing called? Sound. There's some service that you can pay for. And you can get music, and he pays for it. And I've asked him to try to find us something one day, and I'm sure he will. But he's busy doing things that make him money, and this won't make him any money. So, but we have been doing a series about how to tell someone about what we do, and so Jake and I have been talking about how do we tell people about Torah, and your story caught my ear, and I wanted you to share that with us a little bit. And so this is going to be part of a series where we are discussing Torah apologetics, if you will. And so I have Walla up there, which is Walk Like a Hebrew. and so we wanted you to tell us a bit about your journey, and I put links in here for episode one. If you've never listened to Walk Like a Hebrew, clearly it's always best to start at the beginning.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we do here. We start at the beginning of the book.
Yep.
And so we encourage you to listen to episode one, and then episode 20 is a story that she's going to share. And so if you want to hear more about Cherie. So once you tell us about episode one, where I heard about how you met a lady with tzitzis and this impacted you. And so what can we learn about the lady with tzitzis, which is Cherie, and what do you think the lessons learned are from her?
And try to just give us the highlights so we don't, so people will have to go to your site to listen to
Yeah, we just want to tease them
nice details.
So that they go
right.
do that.
Well, I found myself stuck in a booth selling some kind of food at a community event with Cherie. Our children were in a 4-H project together, and you know how that goes. When your kids do stuff, you have to participate.
Right.
So we were there. We knew each other peripherally because our kids were in all these activities together, and it was a slow shift, so we started talking. And somewhere in the middle of that conversation, I noticed her tzitzit that she was wearing. And I asked her about them. And it just started this whole conversation. And most of it, well, all of it, in fact, I thought she was out of her mind. Like, I'm a Bible teacher. Are you kidding me right now? You're really telling me that everything I've been teaching everybody all these years isn't quite right? Yeah, no way. But I was humoring her, you know.
Yeah.
So at some point in the conversation, we were talking about the Sabbath, and I said, oh, I know this one. The Sabbath was definitely changed. It's the new covenant. The Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday. Jesus changed it. And she just smiled very sweetly. She's beautiful, regal, amazing woman. And she said, are you sure? And I said, of course I'm sure. And we carried on with our conversation, and I went home, and that are you sure? That's a trigger for me.
Oh yeah.
Of course I'm sure. I am going to go home and I'm going to prove it. And of course I could not prove that she was wrong. What I ended up proving was that she was absolutely right, and I should have been keeping the Sabbath all along. And that was what launched us into our Sabbath-keeping, feast-keeping, tzitzit-wearing Torah journey. She was so incredibly gracious. She did not try to shame me. She didn't try to bully me. She didn't Bible thump me. She asked me questions. Are you sure being one of them? But there were many other questions in there. And as part of our conversation, she was telling me all about these wonderful things that we get to do. She was so excited. We get to keep all these amazing feast days. It's a party for the Lord. We get to keep the Sabbath. Can you imagine that God actually commanded us a day off every single week? At that time in my life, I never took a day off. I worked all the time. We had foster kids. We had 4-H animals. We had, you know, all the teenagers, and life was crazy. We never took a day off. Even Sundays was not a day off when we went to church, because I'm the sound guy.
Yeah.
That's work. And it's hard work. And it starts early in the morning and it goes, you know, most of the day. So when I started thinking about this command of, we get to take a day off every week, oh, how great would that be? But yes, it was Cherie's, it was her gentle and kind way of speaking. She didn't talk down to me. She didn't make me feel stupid. She didn't question whether I was correct or not. She simply asked me, are you sure about these things that you're so sure about?
Yeah, and I think Yeshua does that a lot. He definitely asks a whole lot of questions, and it gets people thinking.
I think that's sort of I don't know how to explain it, like a rabbinic way of teaching. Especially, I mean, we see it all over the Bible, and you also see it in Jewish culture. You know, that's how people teach. That's how they impart their wisdom to other people. Instead of telling them, they ask them questions so that people will go and find the knowledge for themselves. Because knowledge that you've discovered on your own tends to stick better than someone saying, this is how it is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I get the part of the path that we've gone on in this series of Torah apologetics is I left education and I got into the business world, and here I am in sales. And so I struggled. I mourned teaching. I mourned, I enjoyed what I did. I was good at it. And the Father you know, he said, no, it's time to go do something else. And that was hard. But I really mourned it. And I kept going, why am I here? Why am I working for the man? And I learned sales techniques. And one of the sales techniques that I learned was ask a question, shut up and listen. And the person will tell you how to sell them, if you will. And I don't want to say that this is sales, but that there is something to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what we do in sales is we put the question on them and make them engage their brain, because so often we haven't done that and we just want to fight and argue. And that doesn't engage the other person and truly make them think. And so I think that's why we need to learn from people like Cherie is how to take those steps to make people think and to be content with leaving it there.
Yeah,
walking away
the
from
answer
the conversation.
In that conversation. Right.
That is a very, very hard lesson to learn. In fact, when we came into Torah, our oldest son was already living out of the house and married with children. And he did not come along with us the way our two daughters did. But later on, when he did start to develop an interest and we started talking about it, he wants to go tell everybody. He wanted to go tell his pastor all about everything that he was learning, and he wanted to make sure his in-laws knew and everything. And he can be kind of, well, he's like me. he's got the Torah terrorist gene. And I took the cue from Cherie, and I told him, and you know, when you're talking to a Torah terrorist, you have to put it in terms they understand. I said, the knowledge you have is like a bomb. Drop the bomb and then walk away. Let the dust settle. After the dust has settled and somebody's had a time to think about it, then go back. And if they want to talk about it, they will. If they don't, they'll go find somebody else to talk about it with. But your job is only to drop the bomb. Mm-hmm. You're not in there trying to do anything else.
Yeah, so. It's kind of like a savior complex a little bit. You know, we want to save them.
Yeah.
And we can go way too far and try so hard that we just push them away forever. Yeah. And unfortunately, many of us have done this with friends. And I think that's the point of what we're trying to get at is we're all guilty, you know, and part of it is you're excited. You're excited right. about this and you want to tell others and then you do. And then you're like, it just like, it's crushing and, right. and you don't even realize how poorly you it just is. Did. And, you know, and this is such a precious topic and such an important thing. We want to do it justice. You know, we want to do it right. And just like you said, it is a Hebrew. It's, you know, it's an ancient tradition, you know, Socrates, not that I think I'm a fan of him but lots of people did this technique and it's very effective. And so we should pay attention to it.
Well, yeah. And there's a, so there is a way of, you know, getting people to think and asking questions and making people, you're putting it on them to justify their own position to themselves. You're basically making them rationalize their own position. And if you do it right,
you're making them go back to the source, Bible.
That's right. The point.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you've done it right, they will find that it's not what they thought it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we need to learn to, like, when we're new to this, we get this sword, we have this new sword and it's so big and we don't know how to wield it. And we just start swinging it around. We just need to learn to use that sword correctly. And, you know, for me, I always put it like you mentioned like a word bomb that you put off or a knowledge bomb that you set off with people. And for me, I always looked at it like, as seeds, right? I'm scattering seeds, but I wasn't a farmer or I didn't really grow a whole lot of stuff. So I was like, okay, you just dump your bag of seed out on everybody, you know,
more.
It's like, oh no, you just plant one of the, you know, have some spacing in your rows and
don't fire all your bullets.
Don't fire all your bullets at once. Exactly. Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, I dumped my bag of seed out. See ya.
Well,
something will grow.
Surely it'll rain one day.
Yeah.
One of the things that I recommend to people who are new is to follow the model of Paul. When Paul had his Damascus Road, I want to say eye-opening event, even though it struck him blind, his eyes were opened. And he did not go straight away and start pounding people with this new truth. He went and studied for a very long time and learned everything to back up what he was getting ready to teach. And that's kind of what I recommend now. And honestly, the only person that I really did any damage to with my Torah terrorist ways was within my own family, with my mother. And when I saw what was happening, and I was warned by some very astute people, including my friend Cherie, who said, don't do this to your mother. Don't do it to anybody. And I took their advice and I studied. And I did not speak of anything until people started asking me. And what I've discovered is that when you start walking in Torah, you look so different. You know, if you're eating differently, if you're keeping different festivals, if you are wearing tzitzit, if, you know, all the different things that define being set apart, people will notice and they will ask. That's when you can start the conversation. I don't necessarily start conversations with people who haven't asked.
That's good. And you bring up how important is the tzitzit? I mean, you just stated that's what drew you in, and she didn't say anything. didn't she have didn't to. It just is different. And Jake and his wife, they can testify to that. They've met people, and that's how even some people that are in our Torah fellowship now, that they saw because of the tzitzit. That's the conversation started, like, oh, hey, I know this. You're one of me.
Yes. That's a good way to find people. Yes.
So I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say? We've got less than 2 minutes or 2 minutes ish.
So I don't remember now.
Sorry.
It was real important though. Oh, no. I remember. So, that's kind of what we did was, like, when we first started seeing this stuff, we spent a whole year, and it's like all we did was study. This is all we looked at, you know, and which is good, but I think it kind of has the other side of that is that's all I have to talk about now, because that's all I'm doing, you know. So if I'm talking to someone, it's like I can't talk to you about the TV shows that are on. I can't talk to you about the what happened at the sports games. You know, it's like, what am I going to talk to you about?
Are you calling that a drawback? Are you calling that a drawback?
Well, no, it makes it difficult to talk about other things, you know. It makes it difficult not to be in someone's face about it.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
So I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Well, we probably need to wrap it up here. Jody, is there anything else you want to say about Cherie or what you can learn from her, what we can all learn from her?
Yes. Number one, kindness and gentleness is definitely a better route than Torah terrorism. But know what you're talking about. You know, if you're brand new and you can't remember exactly why Sabbath is on the seventh day and not the first day, I would suggest that you find out why before you start telling people about it.
Don't make it up on the spot.
Slow your roll.
Yes. But above all things, treat people kindly. Don't look down on people because you were where they are now, not so very long ago yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, people forget that. We all forget that. So
I forgot within about 5 minutes. I figured it out again, though.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Well, great. We want to encourage you to go check out Walk Like a Hebrew. How many episodes are you at now?
I have 54 episodes. Well, numbered episodes, I'm at 28. And then I have like little bonus clips here and there. So I think I have 54 podcasts published total.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking for more. Anybody wants to do an interview and tell your Torah story?
How would they, what's the best way to contact you on that?
Probably either on Facebook, on the Walk Like a Hebrew Facebook page, or Instagram. I have an Instagram, Walk Like a Hebrew Instagram account.
Okay. And so I will also put links, I'll add a few links in there to that as well. So this is from the Facebook one right here. So. Yeah. And but we just encourage you to stop by, check it out, listen to it. I hope that you can be encouraged by the things that she's found and share your story. You know, we gain from talking to each other, especially in this COVID world where talking to each other seems to be discouraged face to face. So, you know, we encourage you to listen and check it out.
Right.
So we thank you for your time, and we ask that you would share both of these podcasts, Sabbath Lounge and Walk Like a Hebrew, with other people that you may know, and ask you to rate these and give us reviews and share it with everybody that you think it'd be beneficial to. So, Jody, we appreciate your time today, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Jody.